This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This episode is brought to you by the Friends of the Magic Word, like our newest member and who is a friend of the Magic Word, Larry Becker. Thanks, Larry, very much for your contribution, and thanks for enjoying the podcast. And I also thank you for recently being a guest here on the Magic Word. And for those of you who'd like to go back and to hear some of what Larry has done in his career as a mentalist and what he has offered to our community that makes him the legend that he is, I recommend that you go back into the archives and take a moment and enjoy that podcast. So I thank you again, Larry, for joining our group and for your financial contribution. And for those of you who might like to join Larry and the rest of the Friends of the Magic Word, be sure to go to our website at themagicwordpodcast.com. There you'll find a Donate Now button, which is up in the top left corner, that you can pay on a one-time basis, or you can pay on a regular basis, ongoing, through PayPal. Or if you go to patreon.com/themagicword, there you can find out other information about how that you can donate. And when you do, there are some pretty cool perks you get along the way then, too. So anyhow, thank you guys very much for your contributions and for supporting the Magic Word, which helps us keep this going. One of the places where these payments go is towards my attendance at many conventions. I get an opportunity to attend a lot of magic conventions and to chat with a lot of people who are friends and some of the people who I may not have met before, but somebody that suggests to me, hey, you need to talk to so-and-so. I think he'd make for a good podcast, or that he has something to offer, or whatever. So anyhow, I get to go to a lot of conventions. I'm thankful for that. And also I'm thankful to all the people who give me some of their time to sit down behind the microphone, and I'm kind of running around all the time. And at these conventions, I do daily updates. So this way, those people who can attend the convention have an opportunity to go back and relive some of those moments, and also to hear some things and some chats with some of the people perhaps they didn't get a chance to talk with while they were there. But also for those who didn't attend, to feel as if that they are there almost in live time. I mean, you get to hear what happened on the previous day. So each of these are recorded throughout the day and then put together then late at night or early in the morning usually, and then uploaded. So this way that you have it then first thing in the morning to hear what happened during the previous day. So anyhow, be sure to go to themagicwordpodcast.com and subscribe, so this way that you get that delivered to your phone or to your smart instrument all the time, or to your computer, so this way that you'll be able to keep up with what's going on. One of the things that we often do here on The Magic Word, of course, is to offer a contest. And we did that a couple of weeks ago when we spoke with Jim Sisti about the brief history of magic on the internet. And he had donated a free flash drive that is from the Robinson Wizards Magic Encyclopedia. And we're going to announce the winner of that drawing after the podcast is over. So be sure and stay tuned for that at the end of the podcast. Now, since we are in the convention season, one of the I should also say, while I'm at the convention, one of the things I said I like to do is to talk with different people. So this way, I can then record some conversations, which I then keep and put back and will release at a later time, because I might get several of these conversations at one time, which is a great place because there are so many great magicians all in one place. Such was the case this past weekend, whenever that I was at Magi Fest in Columbus, Ohio, that was sponsored or organized by Joshua Jay and Andy Gladwin and their company Vanishing Inc. Fantastic convention. I think there were about 860 magicians. And this always has been the kickoff convention, if you will, for the convention season. Always in late April. It's going into its 84th year or something like that, I believe. One of the longest running conventions. Now, I know they also sponsor the session, which goes on over in England, which precedes the Magi Fest by a couple of weeks. And in that case, that really is kind of the first one that's kind of getting going. It's just getting started, and I guess I've not attended that, but as Max Maven had told me, apparently it's similar as far as the format and the schedule goes, but I don't think it has grown to the size right now that the Magi Fest has. But the Magi Fest has a really rich history. My point being is that it's kind of, again, the kickoff to the convention season, which is why that now is the time to start thinking about registering for some of the other conventions that are going to be coming up this year. And there are a lot of really great ones that are going to be coming up. We are going to be having, of course, the national conventions or international conventions with the SAM or IBM convention, which is going to be in Grand Rapids, the SAM convention, which is going to be in Orlando, Florida, and, of course, we're going to have Magic Live coming up again this year, and other regional conventions and things going on, but those tend to be typically some of the larger conventions. The Magic Live convention is probably the largest, well, no doubt, it is the largest one in the U.S. I wish I could get to Blackpool. Again, it's been a few years since I've last been to that one, but I know that is huge and a lot of fun. About 3,500 people or so attend that. I mean, it's like a small city that descends on Blackpool for that convention. That's always an awesome time. Anyhow, the point is that we're kind of getting into the convention season, and it's time to start looking at your convention dollars and where that you might want to spend those dollars, where you want to go. And I have had some people who have come to me and had said that they'd like to promote their convention, and they're all worthwhile and all worthy of attending. And I recommend, again, for you to take a look at your budget to see what it is that you have available and that you can attend or have the resources to attend. Now, it could be that you have the ability to travel just because it's not too far from where you live to go to that convention. Or in some other cases, it may be further away. It could be in a foreign country or somewhere that is going to require some overseas travel. And such is the case with the guests that I am talking to here today. These two gentlemen, John Stetson and John Rose, are organizing a convention that is going to be, I guess you can kind of say overseas. It's not that far overseas, but still it's quite unique. It's going to be in Cuba, in Havana, Cuba. It'll be coming up in November 7th through 11, 2018. And it's going to be quite different because obviously there have not been any other conventions that I know of that we've had actually in Cuba. There have been a lot of trade relations problems politically, but anyhow, there's not a problem in getting to Cuba from the United States under this cultural exchange that they have arranged. All the details are on the website at magiccuba.org. Mm-hmm. That's with only one C. That's magicuba.org. Anyhow, if you go there, that it will give you the information that you need. I spoke with both John and John this past year at Magic Live, and I mentioned that earlier, being a large convention. And at the time they were planning that, there were several other conventions that we discussed then as well, things going on, and we have a delightful conversation with John Stetson, an old-time friend, and his buddy John Rose, who was there. We then get into about halfway into the conversation to talk about the Magic Cuba and how that John Rose had made all of the arrangements necessary with the government in order to make this come about. Anyhow, I think it's quite interesting, both conversations we have with both Johns, and particularly about the Magic Cuba convention that is coming up. So this is, again, something that is quite different, and I'm still considering attending. This could be a very, very interesting convention. But I thought, again, that it's important to kind of release this now, because when I spoke with them this last year at Magic Live, they didn't have their website up live and ready to go, but now they do. Everything is operational, all is a go, and so should you. You should go also. And again, this is, you know, not just a big promo or an advertisement for Magic Cuba, because there are a lot of other things that we discuss that are outside of the convention activities. But I think it's interesting to see or to hear what it is that they have planned for this convention. So I'm going to let them talk all about it. But again, we first talk with John Stetson, and then we kind of bring in John Rose to talk about the Magic Cuba then as well. So please welcome my guests this week, John Rose and John Stetson, here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and today we are joined by not one, but two friends, one a longtime old friend and one who is a brand new friend who I just met today. First of all, John Stetson. Hey there, John.
Hey, Scott. It's always nice to be here.
It's always a pleasure.
I
wonderful
always
to
love to see what kind of trouble I can get into with you.
It's very easy to do. It's true. And a friend of yours whom you just introduced to me, then John Rose. Welcome, John.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Glad you guys are here. Well, we were just talking off air before we came on, and that we'd recorded, John, you and I, a podcast. Gosh,
yeah,
it's been a couple of years ago.
We've done podcasts and spot visits and
that's right.
Mindventions where I can't remember what happened, but I remember a lot of people saying, hey, I heard that.
Yes. Speaking of mindvention, I was going to ask you about that very thing. Now, you were working, I thought Bob Cassidy and some other guys, I thought, were doing something around mindvention. You had a workshop, weren't you?
It's Bob Kohler.
It's Bob Kohler. Bob Kohler.
Yes,
okay, yeah.
We do. We've done this great mentalism pro secrets. We've changed the name several times, but basically the content is tremendous. We also work with Lior Menor, and I believe we're going to be doing something special with Michael Weber coming up soon, which is really going to be special. You know, Bob. A lot of people don't realize that Bob was key in this whole resurgence of mentalism.
Bob Kohler.
He and Tim Conover, rest his soul, were best pals, and really developed all of their both their magic and their mental acts together at the same time.
Okay.
So when you look at all this great stuff that Tim is remembered for, we have to remember that Bob was right there and was co-creating the majority of that material. So his background in mentalism is extensive. His knowledge is incredible.
I know people normally will think of Bob Kohler as being like a coin guy, you know, or something.
The coin guy.
Yeah.
The ultimate rising card guy.
Yeah.
The close-up guy. You know, so many. But the majority of his shows where he was making...
some good money.
Some very good money.
Yeah, prior to 9/11. We had this. In fact, people can go back and listen to a conversation I had with Bob Kohler. We talked, a lot about some of the things that he did.
Yeah, and so Bob and I have just been best of friends for such a long time.
Yeah.
We decided to do this this teaching thing, and everybody who has come through, it's as if the class never ends. You know, we're all still together, and several people here at Magic Live were... participants and students, because we've done a lot of private training and writing for different people who have attended our seminar.
Right.
And a few who haven't, but we really suggest people go to the seminar first, because we just...
To the Mindvention first.
To ours.
Well, yeah.
Mindvention's fun. We have a great deal of fun with Mindvention. And that's, we see so many of our friends. And of course, like any convention, it's the gathering of... folks in the bar or the nooks and crannies of the hotel where you find that real secret going. But our seminar is a very, it's intensive, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
And the unsung hero is Mimi Kohler, Bob's wife, who coordinates and
does
our lunches, does everything, gets everything together for us. And so she's the most valuable player and unsung hero in our little group, and I'm sure any of our previous attendees will agree to that.
Yeah, I did see there's so many things we're going to be talking about. For those who are listening to this and didn't go to the website and kind of hear what else we're going to be discussing, that the main reason that you and John are here, we're going to get to shortly, has to do with the convention coming up in Cuba, which is fascinating, and I've got a lot of questions. But so those who are wondering, again, John, you and I can have... We've got two Johns, John Stetson. We could have, I know, having good friends.
Double the pleasure, double your fun.
That's right.
We have a spare John in case I break.
That's right. A spare John. Backup John.
Wow. I could leave now if you'd like.
We've backed each other up for many, many years.
But you're going to be
like
having...
I don't like the sound of that either.
No, I know. It's what we do.
You have one of these conferences coming up. I thought I saw somewhere. Wasn't it like in February or something?
Oh, yes. This is Craig Filicetti's
Promistic thing. That's right,
Promistic Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And last year was...
Was his first one, wasn't it?
Was his first one.
Yeah.
And it was a fabulous experience. With Jerry McCambridge and Banachek and the great Scott Gould. Scott Gould. Oh, my God. Rob Gould. Okay. He's only one of my closest friends. I'm looking at you, divided you in two. I'm sorry.
My backup guy.
Did we mention that this is like the third day of the Magic Convention?
Fourth.
That's what I said. This is like an Elmsley count kind of thing.
And the third where keeps the,
one of the days, one of the, you never see one of the days, but it happens, and you know it's there. It's just I don't know because I come here and I have like a dance card as long as my leg with things that I have to do here, and just wow.
And none of it gets done.
None of it gets it doesn't get done. But better things happen.
Right. Exactly. That's what the whole convention is about, are unexpected things. Right.
Sure.
And for those who are listening then right now, this is being recorded while we're at Magic Live here in Las Vegas. This will be broadcast at some later date. So when you're hearing this, that's what we're referring to then right now, that if you weren't here in Vegas, that you need to make sure you sign up for next year if there's any room left by the time that this gets out, because it fills up fairly quickly. So that's going to be coming up. And that's what I'd heard before, is that when he hosted this, it sounded like a high-dollar convention because it was quite expensive, but you got a lot of cool stuff.
But ours, when I say ours, I mean Bob Kohler and I, we believe...
I was talking about Craig Felicetti.
I know, but it's the same thing where you have to put a price on information. One of the big problems... In magic past, I think, has been lecturers are never properly compensated for what they do.
That's
but
true.
At the same time, many people who lecture are not qualified to do so.
Boy, yes.
You know, people would say, gee, hey, why don't you do a lecture? I said, you know, I've only been doing this for about 35 years. I don't think I'm enough.
Yeah. Still working on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of that's why we're doing these seminar things, because there's knowledge that needs to be passed on and shared, and I just want to raise the bar, because anytime anybody is good, is seen and respected, it reflects well on all of us.
That's true. And you know, and that's the reason, you know, I work with booking lecturers, and I have for the last 15 years. My intent is to try to raise the bar in magic in general. So I feel like that if we have better educated magicians who are out there performing better shows, then people are going to see better magic shows and want to hire a magician. And eventually, I'm thinking in the cosmos, is eventually going to come back to me. It's like, they're going to hire Scott because, hey, I saw another magician over here when I was in Virginia, you know, and so we're going to go and hire somebody here locally or something.
Sure. And that's why I love, I love the way you do things. And with Bob Kohler and I, our seminar, that's really our belief, too.
Mm-hmm.
And with Craig Felicetti, it's the same type of thing. As a matter of fact, Craig has presented with Bob and I, too.
Has he?
Yeah, he's come in and done like an extra day sort of thing with us. And Craig's conference is going to be fabulous this time around. Michael Weber, and my personal hero Ross Johnson is going to be there, and anytime,
that's enough right there.
Anytime Ross speaks, I listen, and I've learned so much from him, and he's just a great guy. Bobby Mota, who I don't really know that
Bobby
well.
Mota?
Yeah, Mota from Mota? Toronto. He's
don't know
a
him.
Working. He has. You know, one of these four wall shows plus corporate things and stuff. He's a very, very busy guy and very, very knowledgeable. I've had brief meetings with him, and he's going to be on board. Mm-hmm. And a name that a lot of people don't recognize is another great, great friend and teacher of mine, a guy named James Mapes, who was the top number one campus hypnotist.
Oh, really?
For years, and created seminars, and made more money doing hypnosis and visualization type things. You need to do a podcast with him. His current book is out. It's called Imagine That.
Okay.
And it is just, it's splendid. It really is. That's another thing with the Craig Master Summit, is there's a real hypnosis aspect of things, and how... hypnotic language can improve your mentalism and your magic in
almost
general.
Almost like wonder words of Kenton Nepper kind of a thing, way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Just the importance of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think, that is something that some magicians have thought, well, this is going to be easy. I can be a mentalist. But as soon as they get something, you realize, no, it's not, because that has to do more with presentation, and you have to have it well scripted, well rehearsed. You know what you're going to be saying, as opposed to a trick, which, you've heard before, you buy this afternoon, put in the show tonight, as a self-working kind of a thing, self-working.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that mentalism, like juggling, is an art that takes a long time to learn to do properly.
It does. And there truly is a headset of mentalism and mentalists and magicians, I'll mm-hmm. say. And I know it's all very gray and very clouded, and we can talk about that till the cows come home. And everybody has different opinions and feelings on it. Mm-hmm. I think there's room for everything. The big thing for me is, once someone stops saying, how do you justify that? That is the first step to becoming a mentalist, to becoming a real mentalist.
Are you talking about defining your powers?
No, I'm talking about, these guys who are why are you writing it down? Because this is how I do it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
This is how
yes.
I learned it.
Yes.
Any justification you do should not be verbal.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes, it's your actions justify everything,
right? Because it seems logical in the way that you present that. In other words, so they shouldn't have to ask that question.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
If you have any kind of
power, and I don't mean like psychic power. I mean a power as a performer, powers of presence.
Right.
Words don't have to be spoken.
Right.
When people come, when you see someone, one of these people who walks into a room and just. Wow, he become he is the center of attention in that room. She is just by presence alone.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff.
That is what it is.
Exactly.
You have to have it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Despite your politics, I was in the same room with Bill Clinton on three different occasions, and he's one of those guys who has that.
Mm-hmm.
He automatically he's a.
I've been in the room with him. I know what you mean.
As good old Joel Bauer would say, he is a human magneto.
Yeah, he attracts people, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I was thinking back again to a mind invention in which that there were three people who exemplified that, and it was the past, present, and future of mentalism, it seems. And on that one, Bill, I think you may have been there as well, and it started off with Colin McLeod, or now Colin Cloud, and then Banachek, and then Bob Cassidy.
Mm.
What a Bill, what a show that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was that the year that we did the Bob Cassidy tribute
roast? Yeah, I think it was.
Oh,
yes, and that was great too. I had recorded that, but I can't broadcast that.
No, I'm thankful for that.
It was so original and so fun, and Michael Weber was the host of that. And
I was actually.
Oh, you were hosting it.
That's
right. You hosted it, and you had Michael. Yes, right on there. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Michael and Ross was on, and the great Cashetta.
Yeah, it's too bad that he's left us.
Soul, I like how we both said he, she at the same time.
and he would
have
liked
what? He would have loved it. He was a dear, dear man.
He really was.
And he was so incredibly talented.
On so many levels. One of those people, again, I think that a lot of people, magicians in general, would not have known the name, or still don't know the name, because she was out working and had a unique audience, I guess.
Yeah, well... just briefly,
Explain who the
Cashetta was a great left us a few years ago, and was a drag artist, fabulous singer, fabulous pianist. Would do game shows, did seance,
outrageous comedy.
Outrageous comedy and comedy magic, and she had a residence down in Bethany Beach in Delaware for quite some time, and also working in Vegas and all over the world.
Yeah.
But towards the end of his life,
he lost a lot of weight.
He lost a lot of weight.
I remember that.
And I really encourage anybody who's thinking about. weight reduction
surgery,
really not do it.
Yeah, because I remember he'd come to the Mindvention. He said, you might not recognize me because I had this surgery and I lost all this weight and everything. It's like
And but it's interesting because a very good he was a very good comedy magician. I mean, really good. And the magic was really good.
And timing was impeccable.
And then when you know the interest in mentalism was blossoming, you're going, okay, here we go. And then you go, no. Gets it, and did outstanding readings. And I remember I shared something with him, and he just loved it and was doing it. And I was very proud to see him doing it. And he would do, I don't know if you saw it, my invention that year. He was doing just people picking tarot cards. And they would stand up, and it's a what, you know, what did...
I do remember that.
What did you get? And he did a reading. And it was both comedic...
Yes.
And touching and sweet and all cash out of this great stuff.
Yeah. You know, speaking about how mentalism was starting to kind of catch hold, going back in time, when Steve Shaw and I first became friends and we were working the Magic Island together in 86, I guess, and he was the house mentalist and I was a house close-up magician there, and I was going to be going to do a radio broadcast, and he said, well, I've done a lot of radio, and so we started talking about that. So we put together the Radio Magic, which you're familiar with, and I remember taking that first to Joe Stevens, and because he was the one, remember, was doing the Baker's Dozen with all the videos, and he was Mr. Video Guy. And so anyhow, we were, so I was asking for his advice. I said, would you be interested in taking some of these cassette tapes? You remember what cassette tapes were?
I don't look at me. Talk to your listeners.
That's right. Yeah, I should, you guys. So anyhow, Joe said, no, he said that mentalism is really not something people are interested in. It's not hot, and I don't think I could really sell them, you know, on this. And so I think he had done something with Larry Becker, and that was it. I believe he had a video. I know he had one with him.
Yes.
And that was the only mentalist, I believe, that he had on video at the time.
Yeah, those were the days.
But, yeah, and then suddenly it caught hold and caught fire and had taken off, you know.
Look at any Stevens mailing now.
That's right.
Kind of hard to find a card trick on.
That's true, too. Before I forget, there's another thing I was going to ask you about, and that is the Tuesday Night Magic in Boston, that you were involved with that. Is that still going on?
Oh, the Mystery Lounge. We are in our 22nd season, which actually makes us the longest running of all of these, you know, one night a week venues.
Yeah.
And
longer than Monday Night Magic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the big announcement is that after 22 years, 3 years, whatever it is, we are now going to switch to Wednesday night.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's why you're going to keep it as a Mystery Lounge, not Tuesday Night Magic.
Yeah. No, we started as Magicians and Spirits.
Magicians. I've still got that poster.
Yeah.
I've got a poster framed in my bathroom.
Which is a great place to put it.
Yeah.
You know, I have a great Orman McGill poster in one of my bathrooms, and it says, Dr. Zomb is watching you.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The one I have is, that poster is right next to the one I have of Michael Finney, in which he's getting out of the shower. He's got a towel, and he's got these two thought balloons. You know, one is, should I dress as a comedian or as a magician today? You know?
Oh, my God. I can't get over I can't get to the thought bulbs. I'm just thinking of a naked Michael Finney.
Good for you. Don't get that visual.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can get through this guy.
That's right. So, you guys are celebrating
the 24th. Yeah, and it is...
going to Wednesday.
It's great. We're... right now, we have so many...
Stone Hobbit Square?
Oh, yes, we are.
Okay.
We are at the Hong Kong restaurant, directly above... well, it's above...
There's
this,
a bar
this restaurant,
right?
There's a restaurant and a bar,
yeah.
And it is a legendary property. We're directly across from Harvard. We're in the heart of everything there. The room itself has this kind of funky feel, like you're doing it inside. It's like you're sitting in a Grant's potato box, you know. It's like that kind of a
feel.
It's that kind of an old-fashioned feel. And everybody, you know, name any of the boys. They've been through and they've done it. And we have, you know, we just love to take care of everyone and have a great deal of fun. And of course, the guys, Mike Bent is one of our original guys.
Right.
Well, Steve Kordolfer and I started it, the whole thing. And Bob Reardon is involved, who is such a, not only a great magician, he's just so great at hosting and organizing and getting things done. And Joe Howard is with us. So
David Oliver
was
one of the originators.
He was with us originally.
Yeah. There was another guy that worked with you and Steve. There was a fellow, I remember he did some manipulation. He worked there at...
Eric Rochelle,
who is here, actually.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marcelo Contento
was
with us.
I still got one of his card fountains that I bought direct from him.
I'll tell you. He was... and you know, we lost him
way too early.
And for those who don't remember him, besides being a great magician, he did a hand shadow act.
Oh, that's right.
And was taught to him by Fu Manchu.
Wow.
So directly, you know, there's the Aikido link, and the fact that he was a student of David Bamberg was fascinating. And the silver lining over here is his son attends the show on a regular basis, brings six or eight young people in with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's just kind of a tribute to his dad, and, you know, and it's, he keeps it alive. And we're going to be doing a very special thing for Marcelo. Soon.
Good.
At the Mystery Lounge. So yes, sign up. Our Facebook page is a good place to see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And but we are going to be revamping a website, and we'd love to have people.
And the website is what?
MysteryLounge.com. MysteryLounge.com.
Okay, easy enough.
Well, for some people.
If you can spell lounge properly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's going to Mystery Lounge is going to keep me. Mildly busy, and the great seminars we're doing with Craig and Bob, but this is nothing compared to what we have cooking.
Now, that's what I want to talk about. What you got cooking? And I'm going to bring the other John in over as well to talk about what you got in Cuba. I saw the ad. I think maybe it was, first of all, like our page on Facebook. So I went over to take a look at that, and then like that, and then I saw some information. Then there was something that was, I saw an advertisement someplace, and of course the little club cards that are around. And I remember one thing was saying not have to worry about a passport because you're going to be going there. This is a seminar, so if you're coming from the USA.
Well, why don't we just start at the
beginning. Let's start at the beginning.
We'll start right at the beginning.
Yeah, okay. Why you even decided to go to Cuba?
Well, John and I have been friends for 40-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up in magic together. We worked the magic shop together. We did shows. We lived together in college years, and this is really lightning in a bottle.
Okay.
This is both of our
It's been something
careers.
That's been brewing for a long time. That's not something overnight, then,
that
really.
That have come together.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was I'm doing business in Cuba.
Okay.
I've been living out of the country for a long time. I do business in Russia, and we suddenly started doing business in Havana.
Uh-huh.
And it just struck me. I've been out of magic, really, for a lot of years, and working with the Ministry of Culture in Cuba, it struck me that they had nothing really associated with magic. And I started mm-hmm. getting curious about what was the state of magic in Cuba.
Huh,
and we started investigating that and sort of digging into that.
And
we realized that this could be a really great opportunity to do two things. One is to introduce Cuba to the international magic community.
Not just a westernized magic, but international, I mean bringing in Asian magicians,
bringing people from around
the world
to Cuba,
yeah.
Both as performers and obviously as a number of attendees to come in mm-hmm. and see this thing, but also to get the Cubans to have some exposure, some window to the magic world outside of their country, which has been difficult for them,
of course,
to say the least. So what we ended up with is we proposed to the Ministry of Culture to create a festival of magic, a citywide festival of magic.
In Havana.
And we would deliver a great roster of international magicians to perform.
Okay.
And at the same time, since they have no money to pay for any of these things, mm-hmm. at the same time, we will deliver a conference where we will invite attendees to come and where we could then use the money from the conference resources to support and create this festival so that we've got a festival for the public and we've got a conference for the magicians. Of course, there's a lot of overlap.
Okay.
But would the
Havana be paying for part of this? I mean, as far as offsetting?
No, we have to completely self-fund this.
That's what I'm wondering.
What they have done, though, is, I mean, we've got the Ministry of Culture and various entities underneath the Ministry of Culture, including the Union of Writers and Artists. We've got the Cuban Circus. We've got various factions and business entities that are within Cuba that are working with us in order to manage the travel, and secure all of the hotel reservations and all of those kinds of things. And they're providing the National Theater to us to do six shows over 3 days.
How large is their theater?
We've got the National Theater actually has two halls. One is around 3,000 seats,
yeah, 3,000.
And the other is something around the order of 1,200, I think, seats. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be taking them both.
Wow.
And we're also going to be doing late-night cabarets in a variety of venues around Havana. We're going to be putting pop-up magic around.
Like street magic kind of thing?
Well, we're going to call it off-the-street magic.
They're
not big fans of crowds collecting in their squares.
I hadn't thought of that.
That's the one stumbling block that we've had.
Right,
really?
Exactly.
Really,
Yeah, I mean, we outlined this whole thing for them, and they basically bought it. But it is very new for them, the whole idea of a public-private kind of cooperation.
Have they not had festivals before?
Well, they have festivals. Well, no, they have film festivals, and they have music festivals, and they have all sorts of things.
So why should this differ?
Well, for one thing, they don't know how to market any of those things. So most of the world doesn't even know they're happening. And frankly, I live in Havana part of the time, and I don't know what's happening until it's already happening.
Wow, okay.
And so they have, the reason why we were working with them to begin with, because I run a marketing group, is that they need help in sort of commercializing, making their activities more modern and progressive in any event. And so they were sort of receptive to the idea of us coming with something new and fresh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's sort of been a very new process for them, and so it's taken us quite a while to come to a meeting of the minds, but they've been very good.
In that regard, and this may sound stereotypical even, but I don't know, is it largely Catholic? As far as the religion background in Cuba?
Well, you've got a socialist structure here, so they pretty much drummed out for many years any sense of religion, just like I experienced being in the Soviet Union for so many years. A number of years ago, through overtures from the Pope, and there's still big posters of the Pope's visit still hanging in Havana, they started opening up a bit and basically started to accept Christmas again as a celebration.
Okay.
But it's still coming back. I mean, people were secretly devout.
Christian. Okay. The reason I'm asking that is particularly because since they have been kind of sheltered, if you will, for a long time and had certain faith or belief in something, that magic might not seem to be a form of entertainment. But you know what I'm saying? They might think, oh, this is, we're not going to want to come and see something because it might be of the devil.
No. There's none of that. And there are some variety of island religions and things like that that are going on there. But
you know where I'm going with this? You know?
Yeah, but no, it really has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that in Cuba, everything has deteriorated, not just the buildings.
Yeah, but automobiles and everything.
everything is trapped in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, but they have like a lot of socialist countries, they have a big circus culture. So the circus is there in each of their cities. I think embrace magic. They seem to love magic. Mm-hmm. John, Bill, and I were down there, a month or so ago and doing walk-arounds and watching the reactions of the public to seeing a few tricks here and there. It was great.
It was fabulous. Great. Such a great experience.
Right.
And our attendees, one of the many, many things that we're going to be doing, are going to have a chance to, if they want to, perform as part of the festival and we'll be videotaping things and videotaping.
Right.
Here I go again.
Right.
Hi.
Hey, old man.
Is this old thing on here? Mike, can you? Right. Yeah, I lost cool uncle status years ago when I referred to I can't even remember what it was. I called like an iPod a Walkman or something like that, and that was it. I was the balls until that point.
Yeah.
Now it's gone.
Cratered quickly. And so that you're working then with the ministry and also the people who are going to be attending will have an opportunity to bring some stuff with them that they can. Now, will it be dealers and things? Now, a festival is different from a magic convention because this is really open to the public.
Let me lay it out on both sides. Because
The
festival, I mean, that's why I say you have to look at it two different things. We've got a festival so that we're really doing that for the Cuban people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a conference that we're bringing down. We're bringing our magicians in. And, of course, there's overlap. The attendees of the conference will go see the big evening shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be in, English and Spanish.
Okay.
And so they'll be able to be very well entertained. And there'll be some people here that you've seen, like Mike Caveney, who can work in Spanish.
Mike is going to be doing his act in Spanish.
Which he was telling us the other day. He says it may be funnier to this group in Spanish than it is in English, since many people can recite the lines.
It has nothing to do with the jokes. It has just to do with him doing it in Spanish.
Right. So we have a great festival that we're trying to put on, and then at the same time bring magicians from around the world to attend this conference. And as far as the American situation is concerned, it is a sanctioned event. It is something that satisfies the requirements of the U.S. Treasury, and so Americans who want to attend, this is perhaps the one legal way for you to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of conference that where you're going to be exposed to a lot of magic, but also even more so to a lot of the culture and to a lot of the magic of Cuba, basically. We've been saying that the biggest star of the show may be Havana itself.
So people get to travel around everything, and so there'll be other kind of side trips available, what are they doing?
Well, in addition, we will do some side trips. You could come early, you can come late. In fact, most everybody we've talked to, we've said to them, and they've said to us, this is the one conference that you would bring your wife or girlfriend to, because maybe they won't let you go without them, because it's the kind of thing where everybody wants to have an opportunity to come see Cuba, and this gives, especially for Americans, cover to do that. It's an officially sanctioned opportunity to visit Havana.
Well, I guess to the biggest question of all, you know, people are saying, well, I'm not able to travel to Cuba then necessarily because they have certain sanctions. But this is going to be different because it's a conference, so explain how this works.
As many people may not realize that tourism has remained illegal for Americans to go to Cuba. Right. It's not technically illegal to go to Cuba, but it's illegal to spend money in Cuba.
So okay? Can I go down there and go to the convention, buy a cigar, and bring that back?
Yes, you can. Okay. Yes, you can. What it basically is down to is there are 12 different criteria, and I'm not going to go through them all for you. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go through. But you can satisfy the requirements, of a general license, they call it, to go down to Cuba, but it must be for one of these purposes. So you can't simply go there and lie on the beach. But you can go in a cultural exchange or a people-to-people program, or if you're a journalist, you can travel there. Or if you're traveling there with specific business activity.
Do you have to file with their government?
You do not have to file. You don't have to do anything. You simply
have a passport.
Now you simply have to claim. When you go to buy your plane ticket, they'll ask you which reason are you traveling, and you'll tick off a box.
Check mark. Yeah.
And now you may be quizzed when you come back, and as long as you can demonstrate that that's why you were there, you have no problem. Mm-hmm. Under Obama, they had a people-to-people program that required no group sponsorship of you traveling. Mm-hmm. Now, under the new, recently Trump made certain new announcements, and they haven't come into force yet. But when they do, we expect, and we've seen some of the early wording, that simply it will roll it back to what it was pre-Obama, which is that you must come under the auspices of a group if you want to travel.
Okay.
And remember that it's all about cultural exchange. The mission is to get Americans and Cubans to interact.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to promote that. They just want to make sure you're not going there to lie on a beach. So Magic Cuba satisfies that, really. You can come down with our group officially. And have no problems with it.
So you are the group that is sponsoring this, so they come. We would come under the auspices of, and what's the event called?
Magic Cuba.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
One of the things, Scott, that we didn't mention is the Cuban magicians. That's going to be a huge part of this because
I don't think I've seen Cuban. FISM and different places I will attend.
They're hard to find.
They come up from Mexico when we have our TAOM and all that. But I don't think
unless they've emigrated, it's difficult you have no exposure to them.
Yeah, right. And we're really shocked when we find out how many magicians or magic hobbyists that there are.
In Cuba.
Part of this. I mean, we are officially a humanitarian effort.
Okay.
Bringing as quote unquote joy to the Cuban people with our shows.
Yeah.
But the exchange with the magicians is just, it's incredible. So the Cuban magicians are going to get to see everything,
right.
Take part of it,
yeah.
And be featured. In our festival as well.
Now, where do they buy their magic? I assume that they can buy it internationally, just online or not. Or do they have to make up their own stuff and build their own props?
Basically,
have a 3D printer to make their own.
They have no access. Well, they have no access. Well, they have very low incomes. So there's not a lot of extra money to be spent on magic tricks if you're trying to survive. But I think that what we've discovered is from the kindness of magicians who from South America and from Spain who have maybe visited to Cuba, we can see some influences. Obviously, some props have been brought. But for the most part, it's a lot of homemade materials.
John and I were fortunate enough to be introduced to the Cuban Magic School, where there is a physical building, and it was it was heart wrenching and humbling and just fabulous all at the same time. This man, his stage name is
Gardini.
Gardini, and he has devoted his life to this building that is.
And instructing
How would you describe it?
Well, it's an old cinema that has been gutted out and been repurposed for them to be able to put on stage acts and train and practice there. And he's working to get an official curriculum with the state in order to get more funding. But basically, he sold his car so that he could fund the restoration of the cinema himself.
Which is... selling a car, we hear go, oh,
I know,
okay,
yes,
big
but
deal,
that's...
but oh boy.
Having transportation is a pretty big deal in Cuba.
And they did they had a show for us there, and it was really terrific. There was some great talent there.
Yeah.
There was some great raw talent too, but what I loved is the enthusiasm of these young, you know, young guys and gals. Just the same as it is with ours. Like we're here at Magic Live right now.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't differ. They have the same passion.
Now, are they teaching close-up or just mainly stage? Sounds like with a theater.
Well, we saw a stage act.
Okay.
That was mainly.
But I just wonder if they have that kind of interest. You know, here in the U.S., it seems like everyone's wanting to do card tricks or cardistry or whatever.
Yeah.
There are very fewer and fewer stage magicians being trained here, but you're saying they're
training for stage acts, but I don't see a lot of opportunity for them to actually perform those acts.
Interesting.
And we are trying to uncover a lot more of these entertainers.
Mm.
We're told that there's about 800 magicians in Cuba. Because it's a socialist country, so they're on their roster, they're on the official...
Yeah, like your tax record as a magician.
I don't know how it works, but I don't see them making very much money doing that, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of entertainers, and we're working with, as the groups I've mentioned before, the Ministry of Culture, the Union of Writers and Artists, with the Cuban Circus, and so we're trying to uncover as many of these performers as we can. They do have a small festival that they run... outside of Havana each year, and they have for a number of years, and it's more of a competition, really.
Mm.
And so we're trying to get some of the winners of those competitions and get more of that. They're trying to give us film clips, but they're of poor quality, and they're very difficult to try to understand where the real talent is.
Right.
And so over this next year, we're going to be spending time and getting the best we can find.
This is what I was going to say. The school itself doesn't even have a proper roof on it.
Yeah. Wow.
And so we've been speaking with, I mean, everybody we've been speaking to has been so open and so curious, but so generous. You know, what can we do? We've been speaking with so many of the magic companies, and, Tim Trono with Penguin. And Mark Stevens, and the list goes on and on. And we're going to be bringing... supplies.
It sounds like supplies are important, but they also need some money in order to repair the roof and
money is a little bit more complicated to give them. The problem with delivering money is that money comes in and goes into the Ministry of Culture and then it has to trickle down into the various so it's that's a little bit more complicated.
So
probably things
to bring in physical
content
things.
Props, things in kind would probably be more useful. Also, the idea that we're saying to any of the Cuban performers that they'll also be able to participate in the conference, that's a big deal for them. To be able to rub shoulders with some of the guys that we're going to be bringing down is just a thrill for them. And you can see the excitement on their faces as we're working with some of these guys in the planning process. Because we have access they do not. You know, we're working with the state in a way that they cannot hope to do.
Right.
They don't have venues to perform in, and we're creating venues for them to perform in. So it's very interesting.
And one of the great things is everybody we've approached to go to perform or to lecture or to do anything, everyone is so enthusiastic. And everybody is excited in a way that I've never seen excitement about people going to a magic conference. I'm talking about performers.
Yes. Okay.
When we were speaking about this, they're all going, "Oh, I'm going and I'm staying longer and I'm bringing my wife and I'm doing this.
And maybe my kids.
And what else can I do?
Yeah.
What else can I do? Can I do this with? Can I meet with the Cubans? Can I?
You're talking about people from America who are saying this to you.
All of our international acts.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
Jorge Vlas is coming, and he's such a great guy, and mm-hmm. he's performed and been to Cuba before. And he understands the importance of the cultural meld of us all and everybody, you know. Mike Caveney and Tina Leonard, of course, they're such great travelers, and they're we're
John Archer, Matt King.
Yeah.
Michael Weber. I mean, it's
Well, you said there's a good opportunity also then to get to a place where you may not otherwise be able to travel unless you are under the auspices of a group.
And part of the fun is, what I was getting at is, it's not you're really going to Cuba to see Michael Weber.
Because you may have already seen
him. You're going with him.
I see.
And everyone is going to be interacting in our dinners, and which we'll, if we have time, we'll get into what our packages are and what we're planning for the actual conference itself. You're going with everybody. So it's a trip. You're taking a trip with Matt King.
Right.
Right. You're going to be breaking bread with these people. We're going to be going to these restaurants together. We're going to be doing all sorts of things together.
Well, speaking of that, tell me a little bit about us. What are the packages?
We don't have the pricing yet. Okay. You can go to magiccuba.org and you'll see some of the information and sign up. And you'll receive information. There's no obligation. You'll get information as it comes, and you'll be alerted when the full website comes up and the packages become available. But we can tell you what they're going to be generally about.
And the dates, first of all, are going to be?
The dates are November 7 to 11, 2018, so next year. So you've got over a year to figure this out.
Yeah.
And thank God, because we need over a year to get it ready.
Yeah.
But it's going to be for the Americans in particular, it'll be an all-inclusive package so that you can basically click here and you'll be able to
get your airfare and everything.
Well, we won't do airfare because there's so many different complications that. But you can pick up your airfare any way you choose, and then everything that from the time you land, from greeting at the airport to the time you leave, to get back on your plane.
The transportation to the hotel and everything.
Everything will be packaged in because we need to transport people around to the venues to see the performances and bring you all the way through to all of your
meals. But you can come early and stay late.
There'll be some excursion packages that you can pick up and be able to see other parts of Cuba. There are some short distances that you can travel easily in Cuba that with some great things to see from plantations to the west to... Mm-hmm. The best beaches in the world to the east.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great deal of the culture just melded with our conference schedule. So it's a wonderful tour. It's nothing really that's been done with magic before.
Yeah, in the conference, you won't be stuck inside of conference rooms for much. Okay. Time. You're going to be out and around when we do.
This is not like FISM then, where you're going to be going.
Yeah, it's not, or even like Magic Live, which is a wonderful event for Magic Live. I love this event. But I think that the idea here is to make sure that we've got all this wonderful Cuban backdrop, and we've got opportunities there in such a way that you can see performances out in the real world. So. Mm-hmm. Close up.
Late Night Cabaret series, for example. We've got some great venues, and we're going to have some terrific shows in them, and we'll be running them twice a night.
Right.
And so there's going to be a lot of Cubans in the audience, and you're going to get a feel for old Havana and the nightclubs and what it was all about.
Yeah.
And John, you should tell them about Hotel Nacional, which is our base.
Yeah, I mean, we're also offering a mob tour. You've got a lot of interesting history there that probably the Cubans don't want to talk about so much. But the Nacional Hotel, or the Hotel Nacional, as I should say, is sort of home base to this conference. There'll be two other hotels within walking distance of the hotel. So we'll have different pricing options for people for affordability. But the Nacional is just a fantastic venue to do this. It's got this huge horseshoe-shaped terrace where we can just let magic spill out.
Yeah.
So we'll have a main room to do some big sessions. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do a lot of sessions. We're not going to do a lot of stuff inside.
We're going to do some, but what we're having is going to be special.
Top.
A lot of really unique stuff.
Right.
And then you, but you'll see magic from behind the bars. You'll see all of that. We're going to have a walking tour where magic will, where you'll take a tour of Old Havana, and magic will appear in certain places.
That's fun.
Yeah. And the close-up magic is basically every evening we're having magic and mojitos in the court. And think of like Godfather 2, that whole thing. And that's the scene. And there's going to be magic behind the bar, and Eric Mead is going to be coordinating all of that. And
bartending magicians.
And just great spots, you know, some guys at stations sitting down doing their thing. And
in between all that, you can get salsa lessons. And you can go visit a cigar factory.
Fun,
and you'll be able to take, you know, a drive in an old American car or anything else that you'd like to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also fun because several of our... These cultural events we're talking about, like the salsa dancing, Joel Acevedo, who's a marvelous magician, is going to be performing there, and also he does a show in Boston with Steve Kronolfer called Four-Handed Illusions, and we're going to be doing a special version of that as one of our cabarets. Joel is a champion salsa dancer. Our magic aspect is involved. And some of our great magician friends who are musicians are going to be involved and interacting, because music's going to be a very big part of this, too.
Right. I think of a kind of music, also Cuban music, that that's very much part of the vitality, I think, in culture.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of music, and we'll be introducing it into our itinerary as well, but also there'll be a chance to go off and see great music while you're down there.
Whenever that you're talking about all these different things, it's going to be compacted in such a small amount of time and everything. So let's say there are going to be several cabaret theaters you're talking about. So will people have a choice? You'll see this instead of that, or will...
We're going to try to make it so that everybody can see pretty much everything.
Okay. Because I mean, I know, like here at Magic Live, like in the afternoon, in the sessions, you get two out of three because you just can't see them all.
Right.
I just wanted to be similar.
We're not going to try to do too much overlap, although it really depends on how many people we actually end up getting.
Sure.
But... I think that you'll be able to see most everything if you have the stamina. It's going to move into the late night. There's a lot of stuff happening late at night. My experience is that, you know, the people come back to the National. I mean, that terrace is open 24 hours, and it's usually full of people during major events.
Again, Thursday for a mojito, just listening. That sounds fantastic.
Well,
I can imagine how beautiful that looks.
We're also going to have some add-on events like, we're going to have a magic rum and cigar evening. And for the cigar smokers or people who would like to taste some of the best rum in the world that hasn't been available in the United States before, it will be an interesting pre-event.
Bacardi was from Cuba.
Was is the operative word.
Was, yeah.
The Bacardi building is still there.
Okay.
Still see the bat on the top of the building.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah. So it's going to be swell. And that's why all of our participants are so excited about it, because they all just want to go and be part of this whole thing. And it's a lot of work. And if it weren't for John Rose, this couldn't happen.
Well, you said you're living in Havana a lot of time, and so you're kind of on the site, so I can see where it's
I think it's just fortuitous. We're there, and I've had obviously a long love of magic. I grew up with it, and I just saw an opportunity, and we had the access.
That's great.
With John's, just the nature of John's business, dealing with all these government ministries, and you can just imagine what it's like, and the complications. And John has a great team, great staff lined up, and so already this is organized between Russia, Boston, everywhere, Havana. All these great people are involved, and our great pal Bill Herz is involved too, helping us. Working, you know, just together producing the different events, and it's great. It's just great.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we start to wrap up over here. You know, I like to ask my guests about what their magic word is. And I know, John, we've talked before that you may have had one that you may have forgotten. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Sometimes your philosophy of life changes. You know, we go through different changes. So let me ask John Rose first. What might be your philosophy of life? I mean, what is your magic word or phrase? You know, what's important to you when you wake up in the morning? What gives you kind of,
there's a phrase.
Yeah.
I have a fortune cookie association. I opened a fortune cookie. I can't remember how long ago, but I saved it, and it's been stuck inside my desk for 30, 40 years. That just says, "Life is an adventure. Fear and worry only spoil it." So that's kind of the way I've lived my life, and that's what's gotten me to the Soviet Union and into Cuba and. Yeah.
So don't let fear and worry.
Doing the things that I do, exactly.
Wow, I like that a lot. That's a good one. I see why you saved that.
Yeah.
John Stetson?
Well, I
top
I,
that.
really.
Okay. I like to give blood every day. Well, we all kind of give blood every day, don't we?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I really believe in just living in the moment. Mm-hmm. Being here now, and it's not all like Birkenstock and bongos hippie nonsense I'm talking about. I'm talking about being present and being able to experience how great everything is right here and right now.
Right.
I mean, we're planning this event, but for us, part of it is every step of the journey is fun and it's interesting and it's fulfilling and I think all of our lives should be that way,
and an opportunity for us to work together.
Yeah,
because you know we're our lives are far flung. You know, it's difficult for us to make a connection.
You know, we get together when we can all over the world, and you know, with our families and friends. But it's so important. You know, for example, here at Magic Live, it's impossible to take everything in.
Exactly.
There's so much, and there's so many great friends and so many great people, and I have concepts and things that I've written that I call mind shifts. And with a simple mind shift, you can be present, you can be here, and you can take it all in. Now, of course, you know, we're here talking about planning something ahead, but just my philosophy of life is really that I'm having a ball here with so many of my great friends. And you know, one of the things that I remember, and this is the week that Eugene Berger has passed.
Yeah.
And one of the great things I remember Eugene mentioning years ago was, you know, talk about his own family, the way he grew up, and being young and going to the magic meeting or the magic club. And I think the offshoot of that is we miss that touch and those connections and those personal friendships, you know, because of the world that we live in now. But he goes, and people were laughing. Grown men were laughing together. And it's just that. We have these incredible friendships that have now gone on decades. I remember when we used to say, oh, that was about 20 years ago. And now we're going, oh, that was about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And plus, but we're seeing all these great great new things happening in magic.
Right.
And advances. And, you know, my thing is like, wow, I want to live in this world. I want to participate. So, yeah, I have to adapt things. But it's all about being present.
So it's not
being genuine and being real. And that's what we have to do when we perform. We have to be totally present. We have to be totally there. And,
particularly,
you know,
for it to be fresh.
It's impossible to, you know, we don't project forward. We don't project backwards. We're here. And that's what keeps us in magic, too. Is what keeps us alive,
right? So it's not just carpe diem; it's carpe save.
And we're so blessed to be involved in this dysfunctional microcosm that we're living in here with our magician friends and our everything. But it is so good. It is so good. How many people do you see here, Scott, where you pick up a conversation that you had 5 years ago, right where you left off, and it was still there, and we have all these things in common, and and all aspects of our personal lives come into it as well. How lucky are we?
Yeah.
You know, how lucky are we? We need to embrace that aspect of it all. Yeah, we really do.
Well said. Something to think about then, too. And I'll let the listeners conjure this for a while as well. Wow. Heavy stuff. Thank you, guys.
Hey.
And so last thing
Thank
again,
you.
Just as far as the website and the dates.
Yeah, please go to magiccuba.org and sign up. Just so that you'll get all the updates, and a full site will come live probably within the month.
There's a Facebook page?
And there's a Facebook page. Definitely follow us on Facebook, please. Yeah. And if you've got anything to add or suggestions to make, please do so through the Facebook page.
Okay. And the date's again, November?
November 7th to 11th, 2018.
Plenty of time. There
so
you go.
Will be with us, Scott?
I hope to be, actually. You're probably going to need
Scott
to have
Scott just
someone.
Said he's coming with us.
Yeah.
You're going to need to have someone broadcast from down there.
We do. And you should have seen the look in his eyes when we said cigars.
I was just thinking, how can I have martinis down there? Because, you know.
Oh.
You know what? Well, what, gin martinis or vodka martinis?
Vodka.
Well, you know, I'll come from Russia. And if you come to Havana, I will bring you a bottle of vodka.
Oh, it is a good incentive. On a Thursday night, especially.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you guys very much. That was John Rose and John Stetson talking about a ton of stuff, and you guys got to sign up. Go take a look at this. Okay. It's magiccuba.org.
Correct.
That's
this
it.
Is okay. This is Scotty out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Well, I hope that you're getting excited about this as much as I am, because this sounds like a fantastic convention. You know, again, we were in the middle of a great convention there at Magic Live with 1,600 people, and I don't know how many people are going to be attending this one in Cuba, but I would say that because of its location, it's not going to be quite as crowded as some of the larger conventions. And this year, of course, we not only have Magic Live is going to be coming up again, but then also we have FISM. Now, of course, that's going to be over in South Korea, and so some people from the U.S. may not be able to make that, but if you still got some convention dollars, you're thinking about going to some convention that's a little bit unusual and unique, I certainly think that this would be the one to go to. And I, again, want to point out that this is something that I believe in. This is, you know, a lot of people will approach me and say, hey, you know, we've got a convention, can we plug that on your podcast? And I don't mind doing that and mentioning the convention, certainly. However, this one is so unique. It's nothing that has ever happened before. The U.S. has not been able to go over and tour Cuba for decades. And so I think by them opening this up to this cultural exchange is going to be exciting. I think it's going to be just a lot of fun. And also to see Cuba in its current condition, that is, I guess, as pristine, if you will, as it's going to be, because as tourism opens up to others here in the future, I would imagine that it's going to change a lot. You know, they're going to start to get some new cars and things like that, I guess, down there. But it'll start to probably have a lot more t-shirts shops and just get to be really more of a tourism destination. But for now, I think it's still, as I said, going to be just in that older type of condition that if you go 10 years from now, it'll be completely different from what it'll be here this year. So anyhow, I just think that it's going to be very unique. It's the first time that it's happened, whereas there are a lot of other conventions that have been out there for 20, 30, 40, 80, 50 years, you know, whatever. They all have good, rich traditions, and they have a heck of a lineup. Let me just mention a few of the people. Whenever that we were talking about this last year, they didn't have all the names and everything lined up the way they do now. But just a few of the ones, just to mention, John Archer, going to have Jorge Blas, Mike Caveney, going to have Jade, Christopher Hart, Michael Godot, and going to have Mac King, and Tina Leonard, Chad Long, and Bob Sheets. We'll be having Eric Mead, Michael Weber, Ossie Wynn, John Stetson, so many, and others. This is just going to be tremendous. So it sounds like a lot of fun. Now, whenever that you're going to be going to magiccuba.org to register, you'll find that the rate that they had has just gone up. We're releasing this podcast here on February the 1st, and they had a $100 discount that if you were to register before the 1st of February, that you get $100 off. Well, that time has passed. However, that thanks to John Rose and to John Stetson, they have extended that. In fact, that John says, we have a discount code for your friends and listeners. When they enter the code The Magic Word Podcast, all one word, and no spaces, no capitals, just The Magic Word Podcast, they will receive a $100 discount if they register by February the 28th, thus extending the early bird special for another month. And we'll be sure to take extra special care of them throughout the event. And while we're on that, as I mentioned, that this is going to be from November the 7th through the 11th, and that's a Wednesday through a Sunday. And so, again, you might consider coming early or staying late. I'm going to be doing that myself. I'm not sure which end I'm going to be on, but, you know, I usually like to have magic and martinis on a Thursday night. This is going to be a special occasion since we're going to be down there, and actually we're going to be having something rather than martinis, we're going to have mojitos. So we'll have a Thursday night mojito and magic and mojito Thursday night. And for those of you who are going to be going and being a part of this and you're signing up, here's a little bit of extra special incentive then as well. We'll have that special night. They'll take care of us. And the first mojito is on me. So that way that you come down and get to enjoy that as well. I think this just sounds like a super fun time. And I hope that you can make it. Again, you want to be sure and plug in that discount code, The Magic Word Podcast, whenever that I ask you for the code. And they'll give you that $100 discount off of that. And again, it's only good through the end of February. So if you're listening to this, not in real time, if you're not listening to it the week that this podcast is released, you still have a couple more weeks. So be sure then to go over and register, and I hope to see you in Havana, Cuba.
All right, well, now it's time for the drawing. That's the time I know many of you have been waiting to see if your name has been called. We had dozens and dozens of people who had signed up and registered for the contest to win a free flash drive that contains Robinson Wizard's Magic Encyclopedia. We've had a lot of really good response to the podcast we released with Jim Sisti talking about the brief history of magic on the internet, and seems to have resonated with a lot of people, both young and old. So thank you guys very much for listening and for downloading and continuing to download that, and also for entering the contest. But again, we only had one flash drive and dozens of you who had entered, and I thank you all. But the one person whose name was drawn is Abraham Karnow. Congratulations, Abraham, and your flash drive will be heading out to you shortly. And I also want to thank Jim Sisti and Richard Robinson for donating this lovely flash drive, this gift, to our lucky listener. So again, congratulations, Abraham. And also thank you to Jim and to Richard. So this has been another full episode, and it's about time I think we leave you for another week. And so we want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. First of all is to not just seize the day, but seize the moment. Also, since we're talking about maybe going to Cuba, that would certainly be an adventure. So I would remind you that life is an adventure. Fear and worry only spoil it. This is Scotty out. He's got a drunk child, shake the booty daddy, wow, see ya!